pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we, many of us, praise you because we're free. We praise you not because our life is problem-free, not because our life is pain-free. God, not because our life is question or doubt-free, but because we are free and because you get the last word. And today of all days, we will celebrate that. I pray now across each of our campuses, across those who are joining us around the city, around the country, around the world. Now, today, God, we give you glory as we tell the story of you still at work in this world. So we're grateful today. Lord Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, listen, in case you haven't figured it out yet, this is one of our favorite weekends of the year. We're going to tell some stories. We're going to laugh. Some of us are going to cry. We're going to get together later. This won't be the last time I invite you. Y'all come back now, okay? Because we're going to get together. We're going to connect with those of you at the sites. We're going to reconnect with old friends. This is going to be a day for us, okay? So before you have a seat, would you turn around, say hello to someone, and tell them, boy, did you pick a good weekend to be here, all right? Go ahead, you do that. This is from a 24-year-old woman who's being baptized today. She talks about how after college she had just chased after the wrong things, the things that she thought were the right things at the time. And she said, I was stressed, I was anxious, my health was declining rapidly. I had strayed so far from God that when I realized I needed him, it felt like I was crying out to a complete stranger to pull me out of a pit. But he did. Nevertheless, he did. He picked me up and he led me through a 3-month season of change. Why are you being baptized? Because I am a completely new person. I'm different than I was 2 years ago. This symbolizes me as a new creation in Christ. This young woman is going to be in the waters today. This is from a 13-year-old. He says, yeah, well, you know what? Go ahead. You know, I usually don't have one like this up here. This feels kind of like a pulpit, so just be careful, all right? This is a 13-year-old who said, during the coronavirus in 2020, my whole family put aside church, and with this, I could no longer find myself. I stopped praying, I stopped believing, I let my emotions go rogue. This is a 13-year-old saying this. It wasn't until the middle of my sixth grade year, which is in 2022, where I began to go to Youth Crossing. And a few weeks later, I went to Winter Blast. It was there that I finally said out loud that Jesus is my Savior. He is the foundation on which I need to live my everyday life. And without Jesus, I just don't think I would be as thrilled to wake up in the morning because I know that he is not done with me yet. He's going to be in the water today. All right, how about just one more for now? We found the crossing in January of 2020, and then the pandemic started. So they were barely here, but they started attending church virtually, and then eventually started attending church in person. This 29-year-old says, through pastors and classes, I started to get some answers to burning questions that we both had. And then they went through a season. She said, I felt my heart break in the worst of ways. I won't go into all of the details, but God was faithful. She said, God is good. He is my salvation, and no earthly material or plan or process will be enough, but he is. This decision has made a world of difference in my life. I find myself turning to the Bible for guidance instead of social media. Come on. Praying for wisdom and discernment instead of venting to a friend. I disciple my children as the gifts they are. I share my love for Christ to friends and family. Why am I being baptized? Because I want to live boldly for Christ. Here it is. I don't want to have a quiet faith. I want to love Jesus loudly. Come on. I'm just telling you, all of these people are free. I mean, they're free. That's what we just sang. That's when my life began. When I turned to Jesus, that's when my life began. Now, some of you hear those lyrics and you go, what do you mean my life began? Because As best I can tell, I have had a pulse for lo these many years. So what are you talking about? My life began. Well, Jesus tells us that there is this new life that is available. In fact, the Gospel of John says, in him was life. He is the source of life, and he is the light for all humanity. And when we turn to him, he does this work in us that is so fresh. It is so new. It's a reboot. It's a restart. It's exactly what we needed. And in that moment, Jesus says, it is so new that in some ways, it's like your reborn. Now, for some of us, that's a really difficult idea. John chapter 3, verse 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's where we're going to be. It's the fourth book in the New Testament. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs that you were doing if God were not with him. A couple of things to notice here. This guy is powerful. He's connected. He is a part of the Jewish ruling council. This is the Sanhedrin, a group of 70 who really run the show. They always cooperate with Rome, but these are powerful guys. He's educated. More than likely, he's wealthy. That's kind of how it worked back then. He's an insider in every sense of the word. He says, we. Well, what is that? He's representing maybe a few others in the Sanhedrin who are interested in this Jesus. But at the very least, he is intrigued. There is something in the heart of Nicodemus that knows he is missing something. He is intrigued. He's asking him. He's very respectful. I mean, he's saying, listen, Rabbi, what you're doing, nobody could do without God. I mean, it's an impressive thing you're doing, young man. But he's also cautious. When does he come? He comes at night. You see, I think it would have been embarrassing for him to show up in broad daylight having this kind of a conversation with Jesus. Does anyone know what that feels like? In the early parts of your journey, it's like, ooh, I don't know if I want people to know that I'm even checking this out. You see, I think the question that he wanted to ask Jesus was, who are you? Like, who are you? Where is all of this heading? I know the scriptures. I'm studying the scriptures. Like, what do I do with you? Now, Jesus, very tenderly, I think, sort of preempts the conversation now. He fast forwards it. In fact, what he says, if you just keep reading, the very next thing is that he says, very truly, I tell you, he's underlining it, no one can see the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is John's way of saying this life with God that starts now and lasts forever. Jesus says, you want to know what's going on? You won't even be able to fully understand it. You and the people you represent, until you are, here it is, born again. In verse 7, he says, Nick, you must be born again. So it's a thing. But Nicodemus doesn't understand it because he's taking it literally. He's like, wait a minute, I'm an old guy. And my mom, well, come on, it was a big deal for her the first time. How does this, what are you talking about? What's going on here? He's missing the point because he's missing the metaphor. One more time. Images, symbols, and metaphors. This is how ancient Eastern people would think and teach. And so metaphors, we know what metaphors are. Let's just be clear one more time. It's a figure of speech. You take a really powerful image and you connect it to something else. And then together you begin to understand what this thing is that you're trying to describe. But you never take it literally, do you? When somebody says to you, you're a couch potato, what are they saying to you? Are they saying you're a tasty tuber? Are they imagining you with a pat of butter and a little dollop of sour cream on your head? No, what are they saying to you? Get off the couch. You've become too sedentary. You're sprouting roots, son. Or daughter, I'm not saying it's a gender thing, but it's just one of those things where we know what that is, and if you take it literally, then you're missing the point. Nicodemus is taking it literally. Jesus is saying something profound to him. You who are educated, you who have accomplished so much, you are connected, you're powerful, you've done an awful lot. It doesn't matter. Your life won't really take off until you come to me. An experience a fresh start. It It's an extraordinary thing that he's saying. Doesn't matter what you've accomplished. Doesn't matter what you think you've accomplished. You got to go back to a place where you are willing to admit you need me. You got to say, God, I need your help. This is the humbling, frustrating, unsettling, and absolutely liberating truth of the gospel. It's the good news. I can't do this on my own. And Nick, you're going to have to get to that place. But he's having difficulty because he's thinking of it in literal terms. It's not unlike the woman from last week. You remember her. We're at the well. We're in Samaria. And Jesus says something to her. Now, remember, their context is she's thirsty, he's thirsty. They're at a well. And so what does Jesus do? He says, if you had any idea, like the gift of God that I'm offering to you and who it is that's actually asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, he's talking about himself, and he would have given you living water. It's another metaphor. He uses it time and time again. In her conversation, he is saying, listen, I want to talk to you about your thirst. You were running after the wrong wells. That's why you're still thirsty. Come to me. Trust, no matter what you've done, come to me. Trust me. And this life, it'll be like a thirst-quenching drink from a spring of fresh, cool water. This is what you're longing for. He is saying the same thing to both Nicodemus, an insider, and to this woman at the well, an outsider. It's the same thing. He's just using different language to describe what they both need. Now, to kind of give him a little bit of margin and maybe a little bit of grace, let's just say, she doesn't get it either because she's thinking literally. At first, she's not understanding what he's saying. But I'm going to tell you this. I think for each of us, it's difficult to describe this life with Jesus, isn't it? I mean, when you think about what he's done and who he is and how grateful some of you are, here's what I want us to do. Sites, all of us, let's jump into this together. What's your way of describing your life with Jesus? One word. You get one word. Now, you can unpack the word, but what's the word that comes to mind these days? The word that is your life with Jesus, the word that is your experience of his love. Can we just talk about that for a second? I want you to hang out with some people. By the way, if you don't have a word and you haven't experienced this life, then your word might be cautious or skeptical or doubtful or curious or longing. You get the point. Just hang out with each other and talk a little bit about what word would you use to describe your life with Jesus. Go ahead, talk to each other. Okay. All right. Some of us could talk about this for a long time because God is doing something in us. We're grateful for that, right? So let me just ask you this. Let's go over here. Anybody got a word for me that describes like your life with Jesus, your journey with Jesus? And again, remember, this could be doubtful. It could be curious. It could be hopeful. Whatever it is. Anybody got any words? Peace, comforting. Yes, ma'am. Grace. Kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Whew, grace, comforting. Peace, is that what you said? Peace? Yeah, okay, peace, comforting. Sorry, I got to switch that. Anybody here, this section? Confident, and what was it?
Happy.
Okay, fulfilled, okay. All right, we're on a roll here. What do you got? Hope. Whew, these are big words. secure. David, what's your word?
Thriving.
Okay, wow. Grateful. Anybody over here? It's pressure's on, by the way, because these people have been killing it. And I know at the sites, you guys are shouting words too. So just give me one here. Anybody got one upstairs? Free. Down here, what? Relentless. God keeps coming to us, doesn't he? Did anyone else notice that your words were very different? That's how big Jesus is. The thread that we have through all of this is Jesus. Yes, grace. Yes, he offers us comfort and peace and hope. Yes, he is relentlessly pursuing us. Yes, he is the only way we thrive. We can fold this into our stories, but each of us are experiencing something different right now. Some of you, it's hard to celebrate right now because you have stuff going on in your life and it's difficult. But the thread that we do have is Jesus. By the way, I think you probably know this, but these up here, all of the stuff that you see up here, these are the applications for baptism this year, okay? Now, don't get too freaked out by the term application. It's just what this is this gives us an excuse to have a conversation with all of these people because we want to make sure that you're doing this for the right reasons and this is the right next step. So you can imagine there are real conversations. You know this, those of you who are being baptized. You had to articulate your faith. You had to talk about what this means, what it doesn't mean. If you've already been baptized, then this won't be the step for you. We just want to be real careful with this. By the way, almost 400. This is an all-time high for us this year of people being baptized. Unbelievable. We're talking from fourth graders to senior adults, from people just starting their careers to people who have retired, from people who are still in school to successful and accomplished executives, from D1 athletes to scientists and gonna be scientists. Okay, let me just give you, here's one from a scientist, a 34-year-old. He wrote, as I entered my professional career as a scientist whose training required me to question everything, I naturally came to the question, is what I believe about God actually true? Big one, right? We had started attending The Crossing, he said, with the help of some things around here and some outside resources. He said, I quickly came to the conclusion that it absolutely was true. When I got to that place, that was the point where my faith and relationship with God truly began to take off. Since then, I have leaned on him for every major decision or issue in my life. Now, that's a scientist who is saying, I have found the truth. But there's a fourth grader who had a profound conversation about another aspect of eternity and heaven, just brilliant. And her answer was so deep, I can't wait to buy her first book. I mean, she's going to be something, okay? But at the end of the conversation, she says to Lindsay, our kids pastor here at Chesterfield, she says, will you baptize me? And she goes, absolutely. And then she says, could I have like one of the other, you know, women pastors baptize me too? And she goes, well, yeah, sure. Why? And she goes, well, because I think when I grow up, I want to be a pastor. Wait. And an astronaut. And I think Lindsay appropriately said, come on, let's do it. The world needs pastor astronauts. I'm already thinking of our first multi-site on the moon. We need you. So many different ways, so many different stories. But listen to me. The thread that runs through it is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Like you'll hear people in these stories talk about the power of Jesus' words. You'll hear people talk about the hope of the resurrection and how he gets the last word. We're going to get to that. But you hear more than one of them saying, I am laying all of this down at the foot of the cross, the cross. You see, the cross is where everything changes. The cross is where Jesus steps into the story. The cross is where he makes a way for us. He actually hints at this in the conversation with Nicodemus. Now, it's a really deep, thick part of the conversation, but because this man is a learned man of the scriptures, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, and he says, there's coming a day when I will be lifted up, and all who look to me will be saved. He's giving a hint at the cross. It's huge, it is thick with meaning, and it's the setup for the most famous verse in the Bible. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life, a life that starts now and doesn't end. Every one of these tells the story of John 3:16. Where's our hope? Our hope is in this Jesus who has made a way. Where's our hope? Our hope is in the one who has done this for us. Why would God do this for us? Because he loves us. For God so loved the world. What does that mean? Whoever turns to me, young, old, insider, outsider, whoever turns to me and believes and trusts in me. You see, this is what it comes down to. It really does come down to this idea of how much God loves us. 33-year-old writes, my life has never been the easiest, and I have been dealt difficult cards. My mom took her own life when I was 12, and ever since then, it's been a struggle. Relationships, friendships, family, I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. About a year ago, I hit a very low point. It was like I was the only person left in a world full of people. You ever felt that way? It was then that my brother messaged me. I just want you to know that God loves you. Just that thought, that's when I decided to take a step into my faith. I started attending services, I started watching online, I started talking to Jesus in my journal, opening up. I know he's been trying to reach me for a long period of time. He is relentlessly pursuing us. But I just kept pulling back, thinking I could handle it all on my own because that's all I ever knew. It took me a long time to finally and fully believe that he was the person I could run to. But now I am ready. I have fully surrendered to him. If my story can reach out to those that feel alone in their own skin and help in any way, that is exactly what I want to do. Another person, a 34-year-old, says this is a former Army drill instructor. He says, I grew up in a setting where we went to church. But as I entered the military, there was a distance, a gap, he calls it, between me and the church. After some bad choices, I almost ruined my marriage. And on my second deployment in the Middle East in 2015, this happened. This is actually when he's in Iraq. This is when he starts his spiritual journey. Before she was married, my wife had attended The Crossing, and she started attending services online again. This is a theme you're going to hear, this online services. She told me about it and shared the link, and I was able to watch from Iraq. Now, understand, he starts his journey in Iraq, seeking out who God is. But there came a moment when he put his faith in Christ at his kitchen table at home in a personal conversation with Jesus. Why is he being baptized? Because he understands that his life is coming alive. Live with Jesus. He says, I am being baptized to show that my sins have been washed away and that Jesus has allowed me into his kingdom. This is a 34-year-old who says, in my early adult life, I faced a series of profound traumatic experiences that tested the very core of my being. But because I was far away from my family and friends, the isolation only intensified this feeling of despair. I could not navigate this on my own. So I turned to the Lord for guidance. I did a deliberate and deep dive into the heart of God's word. Passages that spoke of God's unfailing love, his presence in times of trouble, and the promise of eternal life through Jesus resonated deeply with me. This transformative period marked the moment that I decided to trust Jesus alone for my salvation. It has reshaped my shattered world. I feel the presence of a heavenly Father who will never leave nor forsake me. I now see myself as a beloved child of God. What is it that led you to trust in Jesus? Living in Kuwait. So she joins us each week online from Kuwait, and then she comes home for the summers. Living in Kuwait, my faith has been tested due to the predominantly Islamic environment. I did a deep investigation of these two religions and the trustworthiness of Jesus. Through my research, I found compelling truths that resonated with me at a profound level, the teachings of Jesus, his message of love, grace, and salvation, and the historical reliability of the Bible. But this was not just an intellectual exercise, but a deep spiritual quest, and I have decided to place my trust in Jesus. My baptism holds profound significance for me as a public declaration of my faith. Come on. And by the way, Gretchen, I don't know which service you're at, but it's not a contest, but you win traveling the furthest for baptism this year. So there's just so many beautiful things that are happening here, but there's even more, and we are talking. I'm giving you stories from each of the sites, but what I'd love to do now, if we could, is to just kick this to the sites. So I'm just going to hand this to the sites. Pastors, you've got some things you want to share with them, and so we'll see you in just a bit. Judy, if you would you come up here? I think there are more stories that maybe you have, and actually, would you just give us an idea of maybe, like, what we're doing next?
Yep. This is from a man who'd been downplaying the role of baptism for years, and he took explorations this semester, I think it was a semester, class 6 we taught on baptism, and he wrote, "I'm ready to tell the world I'm with Jesus. I'm now 50, and I'm done letting another year pass as a bystander. I'm done being apathetic. I'm tired of finding excuses for not being obedient. I'm all in." This is from a 13-year-old young woman. She said, "My grandpa was baptized last year and invited us to start going to church with him. I started going to Youth Crossing, and being around kids my age that love Jesus helped me to trust Jesus. I want to live my life for Jesus."
So that's been a theme we've seen with grandparents pouring into their kids.
A lot of those stories talk about grandparents. Yep.
Don't underestimate your influence.
Yeah, yep. This is a 40-year-old man said, "I was drawn in a curious way, but I thought Jesus would never be for me because I wasn't brought up in religion, and I always felt like an outsider. No more," he said, "I'm no more an outsider. I trusted Jesus to fill the spiritual void in my life." The reason I wanted you guys to hear this one, do you know how he ended up here? He worked on our irrigation system.
Yeah.
God uses anything to woo him to our heart. Yeah, our irrigation system, started on our irrigation
system. Right, I'm
going
to let you talk about some things, but I forgot to say this earlier. All of these stories up here, all of those interviews are with you and the rest of our pastors. And I just want you to know, our pastors, not me, our pastors are doing such a fantastic job with people. You would be so proud of the journeys that they are on with so many people. So if you see them this weekend, just say hi to them. Yeah, go ahead. You can give it up for them. All of the pastors not named me. So thank you.
Well, we always say every day in June is Christmas morning for us. Every morning we get to read baptism applications and have conversations. Okay, tonight. I think we have the time frame for y'all. Please come back, experience all this with us. All the food vendors start at 5:00. The only reason we do that for you is we know it's over dinner time. You can bring your own food and drink if you want. That's totally cool. Just please, 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 no alcohol. We have a ton of people in recovery and we want to honor them. Bring blankets, bring chairs. When you get here, there'll be signs on how to download the digital program, and you'll get to see who's getting baptized, what line they're in, all that. When you get here, just look for those signs. This building is open all night for restrooms, for air conditioning. If it gets toasty out there, just come in and cool off and head back out. The baptisms will start by 6:30, so make sure you budget your time appropriately. Whatever it took you to park and walk in here, double or triple it. Especially if you're late and you get parked over at the sports complex, make sure you budget that time, all right? Bring blanket, bring chairs. After the last baptism, that's when the live music out back begins, and then we just have fun together until it gets dark. So all four campuses will be coming together tonight, and we just wanted to take a moment and say, for those of you that volunteer every week, I hope you stop and look at the faces of the people walking in the water. Because you partnered with Jesus and served, somehow their life was impacted by you. For those of you on the prayer team, you have no idea how many prayers were answered because you prayed. Thank you. For those of you who invest financially in this church, ministry would grind to a halt. None of this would exist without you. So thank you for giving faithfully and generously. Just thank you. Look in the faces tonight. They're here because of you. We can't imagine doing this epic Jesus adventure without you, so thank you, everybody. Now, what's about to happen now? You guys don't know this. Chesterfield Online, you would not know this. about once or twice a year, we have a one church moment. I think the teams are gonna come out right now. At the sites right now, what's gonna happen, we're all gonna do a song together. And halfway through the song at the sites, the screen drops, and all of a sudden, all of our teams layer on, so our vocalists and musicians are with theirs, but they get to see you guys worshiping with them. So let's all prepare our hearts now, because we're about to have a one church moment.
Father, we're just grateful this one church moment. We're grateful for what you're doing, and you are so good. We want to continue to acknowledge that in these remaining minutes. Father, we want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the praise, because it is all because of your great love for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. All right, why don't you guys have a seat? I want to tell you a few more stories, and then we've got a really special moment for you. When we take the offering, and I know Judy said it, and I'm sure you've heard it from pastors, and we talk about how it's an investment in the kingdom. It's this thing where, you know, the Bible says that those of us who have now accepted Christ, we get to invest in the ministries of the church so that other people can now hear who Jesus is. That's how it works. But let me give you a couple of really specific examples of that. That online business has come up several times. The only way that happens is because of all that happens around here that serves a whole bunch of different people. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Here's a 32-year-old who says, I grew up knowing about God, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't understand God. Later in life, I had a relationship with my now husband who didn't believe at all. And I didn't really bring it up much. At this point, my husband was battling an addiction. It broke me. I prayed like never before. I prayed for him, I prayed for our kids. I started to see answered prayer. I was completely in awe, but I wanted so badly to know who God was and how he could be a bigger part of my life. After years of battling this addiction on his own, my husband is finally in recovery, and we started talking about God, and it led to this conversation that I wanted to start going to church, and we did. But we first started watching online, and that is something I'm so thankful our church offers. I don't believe we would be where we are today without the online option. After a few services, we started going physically and to church, and we haven't stopped since. Last year, get this, last year, my husband and my daughter were baptized. This year, it's my turn. Here's someone who says, a 23-year-old, yeah, man, all of these are so good. This is a 23-year-old who says, I did not grow up going to church or learning anything about God or faith, but it's always been something that I deeply longed for. There's that thirst, that longing, that hunger. After a shift in me in college, I started to search for a church, and alongside my now fiance, and we took a leap of faith. The Crossing has felt like home since the first time we watched an online service a little over a year ago. Being able to watch online at first really helped ease us into the shallow end. However, once we were nudged by the Spirit, we completely dove into the deep end of the pool. So groups and classes and conversations with pastors and other Christians. She says, I have gone from feeling anxious about entering a church a year ago to now feeling very comfortable talking about Jesus to my friends. Why am I being baptized? It is a symbol of washing away my old self and creating a new life alongside Jesus. But it isn't just online. It's these other ministries. How about this one? My Nona and Papo are the strongest believers I know. Don't forget this. They have always told me what Jesus has done and how I should pursue a relationship with him. I decided to trust Jesus in the eighth grade because I could fully understand it all. I started going to youth crossing camps, and I think camp and youth group is what impacted my faith. What an amazing, beautiful thing that's going on. I mentioned our kids' ministries. Here's one. This is an 11-year-old. I came to know Jesus from my parents and going to the Crossing. The day I accepted Jesus into my heart was when I was on my way to a baseball game. I was with my mom and dad in the car, and I was reading a devotion book that we would read together every day. And on this day, the writer was talking about having a relationship with Jesus. He talked about how easy it was, and so I decided that I could do it, and I did it. And then we went to my baseball game, and we won. Now, I want to make sure we get our theology, like, fully accurate here. You don't always win the game when you come to Jesus. But he says, why am I being baptized? I want everyone to know that I have a relationship with Jesus. And I will tell you, because I know this young man, I saw what he posted this morning and his own, on Instagram, his own invitation. I'm just saying straight up, it with something like this, you all should be there. I don't care that you say you're not coming. You should come. Fill your car up to 100% and drive here. So that's from Banyan, not me. Okay, so it's this relationship with God, though. I want you to understand that's what it is. You begin to understand this. But gang, what I'm finding when we read these stories, you know this, sometimes it takes a while for it to settle in. One of the themes that we saw is that people would sort of pull away and drift for a season of time and then come back to him. That's exactly, I think, what we see in the story of Nicodemus. You see, at the end of their conversation, there is no big, beautiful ending. He doesn't drop to his knees and repent. It isn't something like that. There's no nice, neat bow. I love the honesty of Scripture. They have this conversation, and the deeper into the conversation you go, the less Nicodemus says. At the end, it's a very, very, it's a profound conversation, and Jesus starts talking about light and darkness, and then you're going, okay, so what's Nick's reaction going to be to that? You ready? Here it is. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside. We don't know. Like, it's just left hanging there. We don't know. But we have a clue. You see, on the day that Jesus was crucified, when his lifeless body is hanging from that cross, when none of the disciples, as best we can tell, had the guts to show up except for John, John notes something at the end of his gospel. He says, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. This power structure was real. And with Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And then this phrase, he was accompanied by Nicodemus. Now, it doesn't say outright that Nicodemus was a disciple, but most scholars will look at that and say, he had to be, right? Because he's going public at this moment. He's caring for the body of Jesus. He's the one who brings all of the spices. He's doing this right in front of the his associates who hated Jesus. You see, I think at the end of the end of the end, at a period of time where Nicodemus went away, kind of had to figure some things out, it seems to me at the end, he comes to Jesus and he is reborn. 28-year-old said, I grew up in a strong Christian home, but I was always a rebel and a skeptic. I thought I was above it all. I thought I knew better than everyone else. Looking back, I think I was heavily influenced through misinformed skeptics, modern pseudo-intellectuals, and secular media. I was 17 at the time my parents first took me to the Crossing when we moved to St. Louis in 2013, and I refused to go inside, so I stayed in the car the entire time. Eventually, I knew my life was missing something drastically important. I had nowhere to go in my early 20s. My depression was at an all-time high. I sought counseling, which helped me immensely, and I kept taking these steps that were drawing me closer to Jesus. I finally surrendered to him and begged for forgiveness in 2017. From there, my life has immensely changed, and doors have opened for me that I have never opened before. I am now excited to see where Jesus leads me, and I'm excited to finally publicly proclaim my devotion to Christ. Here's a 33-year-old who says, my journey has taken a long time. I started going to what was called Windsor Crossing in their youth ministry when it was back at the YMCA. So she has taken a while. She said that I remember asking my parents if we could go to Easter that year, and we had to sit in the lobby of the Y and watch on a screen because we couldn't fit into the room. It happens. And she said, my parents didn't mind me going to church on Wednesdays, but they didn't want to go on Sundays. I found myself back then aching for a Jesus who would meet me in the moment as I was hiding in my room while all the stuff was happening downstairs. After many years of losing faith and making really bad decisions, I found out that the Crossing was broadcast on the internet for services. I started watching on TV while my husband was deployed to Afghanistan in 2017. If there was a Jesus, boy, did I need him now. She talks about how they had fought during the first two deployments and this third one was really taking a toll. She talked about the distance that was going on and how she was begging God to heal her marriage. She said, Jesus met me where I was, in the middle of El Paso, Texas, in my living room, ugly crying. He met me when I finally asked to be met. You see, she goes on to say that this Jesus that I discovered knew me and knew all of my flaws and still loved me and is now mending me into a brand new person. She is not afraid to be known as a Christian now. You see, sometimes the journey takes a while as we go through this. But what I really want you to understand is that it's the sovereign hand of God that's getting this done. It's not us. It's not these people accomplishing things on their own. It's God leading and guiding. You look back and you see him protecting and nurturing. I gave you part of this story a couple of weeks ago, but Alex is a physician, a 36-year-old physician. She writes, "I grew up in a family of no faith. I bought the whole Jesus was just a story theory as a younger person and was told to just be, you know, a good person and have good values. I went to medical school and thought and was told that I know everything. I ended up going into OB-GYN where I diagnose and treat fetuses, deliver babies, and care for moms. In my profession, I see miracles and horrors every day. I got to a place where I knew I was not in control. I didn't know everything, even as a physician. I saw spiritual warfare, and I knew that there was something bigger than me. She could sense it. But she also said, I started to feel anxious, and I realized, you know, medication isn't going to work. Yoga wasn't working. I'd always wanted to read the Bible, but I had a feeling that it would be real and true, and I wasn't ready to admit that. That's honesty. One day, I felt compelled to read the Bible, and I did, eventually cover to cover. In October of 23, we started looking for churches, and we drove past one of the campuses. We decided to try a service, and I cried that first worship service. I joined a women's small group. I signed up for explorations. And in March of this year, 2024, I realized it's all true. I was on the floor of my bedroom, and I prayed and surrendered my life to Jesus. I told him I want to follow him. Now I have more patience and peace. Now I know he is handling everything. Now I can deal with the craziness of life. I want to get baptized because it's the next logical step. I need to confess my faith publicly in Jesus. He is the only way. I'm telling you as you go, yeah, man. Just a couple more and we're done. But you need to know that these people that are getting in the waters, we say this every year, they haven't arrived. They're not claiming to you that they have it all figured out, that they now have all of the answers, and from here on they will never make a mistake. They're not saying that at all. Let me just be really clear with you. That pond later today, which by the way, I'm pretty sure we're gonna get a little break in the weather. It's not gonna be like a huge break, but it's gonna be enough of a break, and we're giving God the glory for that. But that pond is gonna be full of strugglers, me included. We don't celebrate that, we just admit it. And we are saying openly that God loves us so much that he keeps leading us and he keeps mending us and he keeps growing us up. He's not finished with any of us. That gives me hope. And it reminds me, it proclaims to me that evil will not win. A 67-year-old woman writes these words. 7 years ago, I drove down the parkway leading to the Chesterfield campus for the first time, deeply wounded, skeptical, and anxious. Never thought I would enter a church again. I was living my life in isolation, never trusting anyone, never believing I could recover from the horrific abuse I had experienced throughout my childhood. I'm not going to give you the details. She doesn't even share them all here. I'll just say that it took place in the context of the church of this little girl growing up. I was convinced God had abandoned me. I was convinced God would never forgive me. I was alone in my struggles. I was ashamed. I was hopeless. Then God stepped in. He led me to an amazing Christian counselor who never gave up on me. My counselor led me to the pastors at the Crossing who supported me and gently pointed me to Jesus, no matter what the struggle or disappointment that I was facing. An entire team soon surrounded me with support, and I began to believe that God did see me and that I did matter to him. And there were struggles and there were disappointments and things that did not go the way she wanted to. I'm just gonna say, at every turn, she writes, Christ followers were in my life who lifted me up every time I was knocked down, always pointing me towards Jesus for strength. And I'll just say this one more time. The pastors of this church, they walk into situations. Y'all would be so proud of them. I know their Heavenly Father is. And these pastors walk with people. And there were men and women who walked and still walk with people. She said, I have learned to trust God and His plan for my life. God is the author of my story, and I believe He is enough. My scars, physical, emotional, and spiritual, will always be a part of who I am. But now they tell a different story because I can look back on my life and I can see how every challenge, every wound, every painful memory, it has brought me to where I am today. And I know that Jesus stands with me, and I know that I am not alone, and I know that I can trust Him to lead me through whatever storms I face. I only need to follow. On June 23rd, I will stand in the waters of baptism to declare that evil does not win. My life belongs to Jesus, and I will follow Him the whole way. This is a daughter of the King. And I just want you to know, if you show up tonight, it's gonna feel like holy ground as you watch people, all different stories, all different details, proclaiming that they are with the same Jesus. It's a thing. It's hope. It gives me hope. Hope's real. A 31-year-old man writes, "So I was born and raised in a Muslim household. My mom died when I was 13. My dad died when I was 29. I'd always felt like I didn't belong. In college, I joined the local Muslim Student Association. I became very devout in my practices to the point that I would go on an umrah. This is similar to a hajj. It is a pilgrimage. After dad died, bad experiences, we won't go into those, feeling a little disfranchised, kind of doing his own research on some things, just kind of says at this point, I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. In his words, he said, I'm going to be a free agent theist. I believe there's a God, but not really a whole lot else, but I believe there's a God. Then I moved to an apartment in St. Louis. My neighbor, they're having sort of a quasi-spiritual conversation, and his neighbor says, well, why don't you look into who Jesus is? And I thought to myself, okay, but I just got out of one religion. I'm not sure I want to get into another one. I don't really know, you know, what to do. So he starts researching, and he starts kind of finding things out, and not just researching where he came from, but researching Christianity. And this is the important thing. He said, the deeper I went, I saw the love of Jesus. I saw the mention of God being a father. I had never even thought of that before. It was a really unique concept, and it was something that made me happy to hear because I feel like I could have a really close relationship with Father God. But I was still pretty hesitant, to go all in and become a Christian. So I kept doing my research, but I said to myself, I need to take another step. Now, along the way, I had been blessed with a new family, my brothers Brad, Kyle, Nick, and my hero Ben, who is my brother now. And I took Ben to a blues game, and I told him I was thinking about going to church. And he said, I think you should. And he said, why don't you go to the Crossing? And I'm like, what's the Crossing? And so I'm a very direct person. So whenever I think about doing something, I'm going to do the research. So we're at the blues game. I'm watching the hockey game. And on my phone, I am looking up and researching the Crossing. And I come across some of the services and some of the teachings. And I thought, this is cool. I should do this. So I created an account with the Crossing. And then another blessing came into my life. And that was the blessing of my brother and my pastor, Nathan. Nathan is one of our pastors at Fenton. And Nathan reaches out to him, and he says, you should come to a Sunday service. I'll meet you there. And so I did. And it was cool, and it was beautiful, and I can't even describe what happened. I can't even describe. There was music. Where I come from and in my background, music is thought to be a sin and things of that nature. It was the music. It was the opening of God's word. It was the way that people welcomed him. He said, it was such a refreshing spiritual breath, a fresh air, and I just started coming. And then it's Christmas, and he said, I don't understand all the Christmas traditions, but I loved them, and so I would go to Main Street in St. Charles because it's beautiful and it's Christmas, and it just seemed right. So he goes, and he begins to feel a stirring, and then he writes these words. Afterwards, I went to Christmas Mass or the Christmas service or the Christmas servant at the Crossing. I don't know what you call it. But it was one of the most beautiful, amazing experiences of my life. And I fell in love with Jesus. and I fell in love with Father God. And I am so thankful and so blessed that I am now a Christian, and that today I'll be baptized. By the grace of God, I want to share this story with you all so that you understand that if God can reach a guy like me who's from a completely different world, he can reach anybody, and the hope of the Lord is real. Okay. All right. We're done. I can't take anymore. We want to invite you to this celebration. And I know some people think baptism should be a somber affair, but we just think it's a taste of heaven. We want you to experience this. We take this real seriously leading up to these moments. It's real serious what happens in the water. Pay attention to the tears. Pay attention to the faces. Pay attention to what's going on, the worship. But then pay attention to the laughter and the joy, because it's time to celebrate. And if you're at a place right now where you're saying, wait, I don't understand any of that. I want this new life. What do? Well, then you repent. You turn away from the old solutions and you come to Jesus. You trust in him, not religion, not the waters of baptism, not communion, not the faith of your family, not trying to do good things. You trust in Jesus. You turn to him, and he's enough. And if some of you are saying, well, wait, you're moving way too fast, because I don't believe any of that stuff yet. Well, welcome to the crossing. Do what some of these people did. Just hang out, ask questions, get some answers and some resources, and we'll point you in the right direction. But for many of us, it is now time to give thanks to God. Why? Because we are a blessed people. We who are the redeemed, we who have experienced new life, we who after all these years still get to see God at work. So here's the thing. If you're being baptized, I hope you understand something. Like, you'll know that in just a second, we're going to celebrate, we're going to show you this video, and we couldn't even get all of the faces on. Like, there's going to be a moment when it all pans out. You're going to want to stay, pans out. We only got 300 faces on there. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of people who will be in the water in addition to those folks. Every one of them a reminder of God's goodness. But if you're being baptized, I want you to know, when you stand in the water, you'll be completely drenched in the love and favor of your heavenly Father, because you've been covered by the grace of the Lord Jesus. You're being filled by the Holy Spirit of God, and he's just getting started with you. We're so happy for you. And when you stand there and you proclaim to a watching world that you're with him, there will be thousands of people around that pond who are saying, and we're with you. And if we, the church, can give God the glory, that would make it a good day. Don't you think? Amen? Amen. And amen.